Did Christ Burn in Hell by W.J. Franklin. Did Christ burn in hell to save us? Inasmuch as men have begun to teach things along the lines of redemption that do not appear to us to be in accord with basic truths, it seemed good to us, because of the urging of friends, to set forth what we feel the Scriptures teach about these things. We have accepted the fact that salvation is entirely by the death and resurrection of Christ. There are those who teach that salvation is by cremation, that is, that Christ went to hell and had to burn to death and also be born again before our salvation could be complete. Our answer is, what saith the Scriptures? Statements that have been made. 1. That Christ died as a sinner, and sinners go to a burning hell. Therefore, Christ went to a burning hell. 2. That Christ had to die twice to answer the type of the two goats of Leviticus 16. 3. That the second death he died was a death in hell. 4. That Christ, having burned to death in hell, had to be born again. And 5. That Christ wrestled with Satan in hell for the keys of hell and death. What does Scripture teach? Let us see what the Scriptures teach about the place called hell. This will not be an exhaustive statement. The word rendered hell in the Old Testament occurs 65 times. It is rendered grave 31 times, as hell 31 times, and 3 times it is translated pit. The word does not occur until Genesis 37:35, where it is rendered grave. The word hell occurs first in our English Bibles in Deuteronomy 32:22. In Numbers 16:30, the same Hebrew word, Sheol, is rendered pit. This Hebrew word is never used in the possessive or in the plural. The word for grave is used in both senses. The teaching of the Scripture is that hell is in two compartments. In Deuteronomy 32:22, we read of the lowest hell. This was and is evidently the abode of the wicked. The other part is where Jesus took the dead thief, and Jesus called it paradise. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus had said of himself that the Son of Man would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Note the meanings of the Hebrew word Sheol. The world of the dead, as if a subterranean retreat, Strong's, a subterranean place full of thick darkness where the shades, spirits of the dead, are gathered together, from Jacinius. He states further that Sheol is derived from the idea of asking for or demanding all without distinction. Other scriptures reveal that it is a place of sorrow and fire. For example, see Luke 16 verses 23 and 24 and Psalm 18 verse 5. Statement, Christ went to a burning hell. The advocates of the doctrine which we are considering teach that Christ burned to death in that place, Sheol. It will be noted that the fires of hell were never designed to destroy in the sense of bringing to nothing, but just to torment. Also, where is there a text teaching that the righteous ever went to a burning hell? Again, where is there a text to teach that a man once assigned to a burning hell ever escaped or was permitted to leave that abode? I have before me in a magazine a sermon which states that no spirit ever went to hell. The writer claims that Jesus' soul burned in hell. If no spirits ever went to hell, what about the angels of 2 Peter 2:4 and of Jude verse 6, and the seemingly demons that come out of the bottomless pit of Revelation 9 verses 2 and 3? Those certainly are spirits. It is true that the word in 2 Peter 2:4 is not the usual word for hell, that is, the Greek word Hades, but is Tartarus. We believe it refers to the same place. Those who teach this claim that since Jesus died as a sinner, he had to be born again. Be it remembered that he was holy before coming to the world. He was holy all his life. He was that holy thing born of Mary, Luke 1:35. He was the holy child Jesus, Acts 4:27 and 30. He remained holy even when being made sin for us. If he had to be born again, why? If he had to be born again, who died for him? Let us look at his holiness as portrayed by a type. In Leviticus 6, verses 25 through 29, we read of the law of the sin offering. We read that the sin offering was most holy. Note Leviticus 6:29. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. There was a most holy place. Exodus 26, verses 33 and 34. Israel had an altar of burnt offering. It was most holy. Exodus 29:37. One had to be holy to touch it. Also, the altar of incense was most holy. Exodus 30, verse 10. All the furniture of the tabernacle was to be most holy. Exodus 30:29. Anyone touching the furniture had to be holy. The sin offering as slain, that is, as dead, was considered so holy that anyone touching it had to be holy. Any garment on which the blood was sprinkled had to be washed in the holy place. The earthen vessel in which it was cooked had to be broken, and a metal vessel had to be scoured and rinsed. Only the priest could eat of it, and it had to be eaten in the holy place. Leviticus 6:26-29. That was only a type, but a type pointed to the reality. Christ was the real sin offering. Criminals could be thrown on the trash heap, but not Christ. He made his grave with the rich, and tender hands took his body from the cross, wound it in linen and spices, and gave him an excellent burial. He was God's sin offering, most holy. This should give the lie to another matter which has been taught, that in order for his precious body to be so deeply marred as is described in Isaiah 52:14, God let the demons loose on his body in the tomb. What would have been accomplished by that? And what could they have done? No, Christ had done what was necessary. The work was finished. If Christ had to burn in hell, it would be something of the utmost significance, and yet it is never stated by any of the New Testament writers that Christ burned in hell. Peter quoted David as saying, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," Acts 2:27. This was the experience of all the Old Testament saints except Enoch and Elijah. They all went to the heart of the earth or into upper Sheol. It will be noted that nothing is said of a burning hell. Again, Romans 10:7 and Ephesians 4:9 prove that Jesus went to the heart of the earth. Granted that he did, is anything said of an experience in a burning hell? On Ephesians 4, verse 8, Williams gives, "When he ascended up on high, he led a host of captives." This gives in part why Jesus went to the heart of the earth. He had predicted that he would, Matthew 12:40. Here the reason for his going was to bring out God's believing people. That abode was prepared of God for those who believed him before the first coming of Christ. So let us look at the word rendered paradise in Luke 23:43. God prepared a garden for Adam and Eve, which we usually call paradise. Here in Luke, paradise was the place to which Jesus went after his death. Paradise is now in heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:4 and Revelation 2:7. See where the tree of life is, Revelation 22, verse 2. The word rendered paradise in Luke 23:43 means, according to Strong's, a park, an Eden. From Thayer's lexicon, I glean the following. A grand enclosure or preserve, a park, shady and well-watered, grove, pleasure, ground, that part of Sheol which was thought by the Jews to be the abode of the souls of the righteous until the resurrection. That description does not sound like a burning hell. What is the record of Jesus' activities in those 3 days in the heart of the earth? Let us limit ourselves to what the scriptures teach. The only recorded instances are that he was to be in paradise, and he is said to have preached to the spirits in prison, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, 1 Peter 3:19. The word rendered preached in the above text means to herald as a public crier, to be a herald, to officiate as a herald. It always is with a suggestion of formality, gravity, and authority which must be listened to and obeyed. Just why Jesus is said to have spoken to one group only in the above text is another subject. but he did take a message of deliverance to Upper Sheol, and this is the reason why he went there. This was his activity there. Nothing about burning. Statement: Christ died twice, Leviticus 16, two goats. Before me is an article that states that Christ had to die twice to answer to the two goats of Leviticus 16, one of whose blood was taken into the holy place and one let go into the wilderness as a scapegoat. According to the article, Christ's second death was to be a death in hell in order to fulfill the death of the scapegoat. The idea of his second death is based on a text in Isaiah 53:9 where the word death is an intensive plural, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The death of Jesus was so violent in so many ways that, like Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:23, he was in death's oft. I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31b. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8:36. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. Does that mean that Paul actually died every day? No, neither does Isaiah 53:9 mean that Christ died twice. All the places where we read of the scapegoat are in Leviticus 16. The scapegoat is never said to die, and death is never mentioned in connection with him. He was a goat of departure, but not of death. One writer said he was let go to die of hunger, loneliness, and thirst, the vultures tearing the flesh away from the dying body. That does not sound like our God, to torment a creature and starve it to death. Let us note what they actually did with the second goat. The scapegoat was let go into the wilderness, Leviticus 16, verses 10 and 22. Aaron did not take the goat there, but sent him by the hand of a fit man, Leviticus 16:21. The goat was said to bear their iniquities to a land not inhabited, Leviticus 16:22. If a man could take the goat into such a place, survive, and return, be sure that the goat could do more. We doubt if there is a place in Palestine where a goat could not find a way to survive. The word rendered wilderness also means a pasture, an open field where cattle are driven, Strong's. Also an uninhabited plain country fit for feeding flocks, Jacinius. Not desert, a pasture. Note the word translated pasture in Joel 2, verse 22. So the death of the scapegoat is never referred to by the Lord. In a figurative sense, it bore away the sins of Israel. The only thing in the Bible called a second death is the lake of fire, Revelation 2:11 and 20, verse 14. Certainly Christ never entered there. Jesus and Paul both experienced many things that were akin to death and brought them near death, but they did not die but once. See Colossians 1:24 and Mark 14, verses 33 and 34. I doubt if any other man could have stood up under Jesus' grief in the garden. Was this not like death? Other texts that have been used are found in the Psalms, for example, Psalm 18:5, where we read, "The sorrows of hell." This same phrase is used in 2 Samuel 22, verse 6. Both statements are applied by the advocates of this doctrine to Christ. In one instance, the word rendered sorrows means a rope, a noose, a throw. It speaks of the limitations the writer found himself in. In Psalm 116:3, the pains of hell means something tight, figuratively, trouble. In all our studies, we need to learn and to make a difference when something is spoken in figurative or poetical language. Note Psalm 35, verse 10, "Bones do not talk." Was it really the sorrows of hell that gripped the psalmist? Jonah 2, verse 2, "Out of the belly of hell I cried." Was Jonah in hell? To both questions we respond, no, it is just figurative language. Statement: Christ had to be born again. Another statement is that Christ had to be born again. If so, who died for him? Who redeemed him? Jesus taught that men should repent. He never repented. He taught men to be saved. He never had to be saved in the sense that we are saved. The Bible teaches that he was the firstborn from the dead, Revelation 1, verse 5. He that is firstborn of all creation or of every creature, Colossians 1, verse 15. This speaks more of a position than of an experience. He was the firstborn of Mary, Matthew 1, 25. He is God's only begotten Son, John 3, 16. But where does the Bible state that he was born again in hell, or that he had to be born again as we are, because of bearing our sins in his body? No, he was ever the Holy Son of God from eternity. Statement: Christ overcame Satan in hell. The same article states that Christ overcame Satan in his dark domain and took from him the keys of hell and the grave. I challenge anyone to prove that Satan ever had the keys of hell or the grave. In fact, I know of no text that teaches that Satan has ever been in hell. In Revelation 9:1, a key to the bottomless pit will be given to the fallen star, which star we believe to be Satan. He not only is not in hell, he can't even open its door until he is given a key. No, Christ is never said to have wrestled with Satan over anything. He completely defeated Satan with a few quotations from the Bible when he was tempted in the wilderness. Statement: Christ's soul, an offering for sin. Another point that is made much of is the fact that in Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, it is taught that Christ's soul was made an offering for sin. One writer stated that the lordly, high priestly spirit of Christ carried the warm lifeblood of Jesus into heaven's holy of holies. Where in the entire Bible does anyone find such language as the lordly, high priestly spirit of Christ? Then this same writer said the high priestly spirit returned and led the scapegoat down to hell. This in spite of having said that spirits never go to hell. Heed sound words. We do well to give heed to the form of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13. No such words as the above are found in the Bible. The writer speaks of the dying body and the scapegoat's soul as being laden with humanity's sins. Christ took our sins in his body on the tree, not in hell. Let us look at the word rendered soul in Isaiah 53:12. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. The word rendered soul is frequently translated life. Note, the life is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. The same word is three times rendered life in Leviticus 17:14. Then notes other uses of the word rendered soul. The life of man, Genesis 9:5. For the tree of the field is man's life, Deuteronomy 20, verse 19. Certainly this does not speak of that part of man that is distinct from his body. Adventured his life, Judges 9, verse 17. Thou lose thy life, Judges 18:25. If thou save not thy life tonight, 1 Samuel 19:11. Saul was come out to seek his life, 1 Samuel 23:15. It is clear from the above scripture texts that the word rendered soul in Isaiah 53 many times refers to the whole man or the body. In fact, the same word is translated body in the following texts: Leviticus 21:11, Numbers 6, verse 6, Numbers 9, 6, 7, and 10, Numbers 19, verses 11 and 13, and 16. However, in Job 14:22, it would seem that the word soul means something apart from the body. The word soul is rendered so very many ways in our version that they are too numerous to go into. In particular passages, it certainly just speaks of the person, Proverbs 6:30 and 10:3, Deuteronomy 12:20 and 21, and 1 Peter 3:20. We feel that the passages in Isaiah 53 have the same meaning. God delivered up his son for us all, Romans 8:32 and John 3:16. Who could scripturally say that part of him died at one place and part at another? Did his suffering save us? No one could experience what Jesus did and not suffer. The scriptures, such as Psalm 22, Psalm 69, and Isaiah 53, show clearly that Jesus went through all that human nature could possibly go through, not only of the physical torments that human cruelty could heap on him, but that he suffered the wrath of God against sin. However, the Bible never states that his suffering saves us. The source of our salvation. What does the Bible teach about the source of our salvation purchase-wise? Let us see what the scriptures say. One man shed his blood for the race. The Bible teaches that his blood was holy. Hebrews 10:29. We rightly sing, "There is power in the blood." The blood was holy when he was made sin for us. It was holy and is still counted holy after all these years. That blood is called the blood of God. Acts 20:28. It was the shed blood and blood only that was sprinkled on the doorposts that saved Israel from the destroyer. Exodus 12:13. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Leviticus 17:11. Then note the following, and I will not quote the texts, just cite their locations. Remission of sins by his blood, Matthew 26:28. The church purchased by his own blood, Acts 20:28. Propitiation through faith in his blood, Romans 3:25. Washed from our sin in his blood, Revelation 1:5 and 7:14. Cleansed by his blood, 1 John 1:7. Redemption by his blood, Ephesians 1:7. Also Revelation 5:9. Sanctified by his blood, Hebrews 13:12. Purged by his blood, Hebrews 9:14. Boldness to enter the holiest by his blood, Hebrews 10:19. This is into the immediate presence of God. The new covenant by and in his blood, 1 Corinthians 11:25 and Hebrews 10:29. Justified by his blood, Romans 5:9. Peace through his blood, Colossians 1:20. Made nigh by his blood, Ephesians 2:13. Overcomers by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. What more is there to be had than that which is provided by the blood? Man's guilt was infinite. He needed an infinite sacrifice. Jesus was infinite as Jehovah. That is, he is and was Jehovah. When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Nothing else could be added to that phase of his work. Paul said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Hebrews 9:22. However, with the shedding of blood, there is complete remission. Question: why did Paul or Peter or John never speak of Christ's burning in hell? Why did Luke not write of it? Why is James silent on such a great topic as Jesus burning in hell? Simply because they realized that his blood was sufficient. There was no need to speak of what never occurred and was not necessary for our salvation. If Jesus died on the cross, then died in hell, was one member of the deity dead? That is, had he ceased to exist? I agree with C.E. Foster's answer to this question. It is absurd. We are near the end of the grace age. The devil would like to defile us with strange doctrines. We may feel that we glorify Christ by saying such things about him, and we may feel that we exalt his love more. But when we go beyond the scriptures, we do not glorify Christ. Let us limit our knowledge of spiritual things to the Word of God.